We Talk Wrestling is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, these fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. And we just a couple hours ago there, a few hours ago, we put up the Dusty Rhodes show that we did.
If you will.
And like we said, we were going to go watch Money in the Bank, come back.
Yes.
And we did. We finished watching Money in Who Gives a Fuck.
Money in the Who Gives a Fuck.
Yeah. And so we're going to be judging this show, I guess. We'll judge each match on how many fucks you didn't give.
Yes. On a scale of 1 to 5.
Yeah. How many fucks you did not give.
Right.
That said, I mean, it was a good show. It was a good show. Not a blowaway show, but it was a good show.
Not a liver show. Not a dog show, but a good show. Not a big show.
Not
a big bad show tonight.
But that's part of the problem is that the build to it, like Raw is such a holding pattern,
yes,
where it feels like nothing important happens. And the pay-per-views, there's so many of them, and it feels like very little ever happens, that it just doesn't seem important. And only a couple times a year, WWE feels like it could be considered important.
Well, maybe.
And that's why when I call it Money and Who Gives a Fuck, it's because Who Gives a Fuck is just, it's just a show.
Well,
as far as, like I say, as far as the quality of the show, it's pretty good.
You're saying that WWE needs Viagra?
Yeah.
Or does it need Viagra? Because nothing is impotent. It's a genetic jackhammer, pal.
Yeah.
So, the show.
The show itself.
Kick started. Just blasted right off with R-Truth against Wade Barrett.
And R-Truth won.
Fuck. Scale 1 to 5, who gives a fuck about R-Truth? 29.
This is a 5 who gives a fuck match.
Yeah.
I give this 5 who gives a fucks. No question that the, like, of all the people that I want off my TV,
yes,
R-Truth is pretty damn high up.
He is very high on that list.
Like, I can't think of one good wrestling match I've ever seen with him. And I don't get a kick out of the character. Like, but there he is at, you know, fucking 9,000 years old beating Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
In a match that nobody gives a fuck about, which is maybe gives it a 6, who gives a fuck.
Yeah, like, I mean, and Wade Barrett is, like, just done.
Wade Barrett is the epitome
of bad.
It's really, yeah, again, Wade Barrett, there's no reason why they've always pushed him like this. It's really one of those things where I don't think anybody really understands it.
No.
What they don't see in him.
He has an accent.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But it's not as bad as Cesaro's.
Yeah, who they also don't push.
No, but Cesaro, at least Vince said it's because of the accent, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really... like, he is the, like, Wade Barrett is the guy, the exact guy that you go, this is why we need WCW. Like, this is why you need that second strong company. Yeah. That a guy like him could go to and have success, that they could turn around and push and make a star.
I'm not saying
like that, this is where like a guy like him, he's the guy who is screwed by the fact that only one company nationally matters.
I'm not saying that Wade Barrett is Stone Cold Steve Austin or Mick Foley.
No.
But Wade Barrett is that guy that, like, back in the day, Wade Barrett would be the guy that WCW misuses and that Vince picks up and pushes and turns into a star.
Scott Hall takes him from being the diamond stud to being Razor Ramon.
Yeah, Vinny Vegas to Diesel. You know, Jean-Paul Levesque to Hunter Hearst Helmsley. You know, Cactus Jack to Mankind. Stunning Steve to Stone Cold. Or Stunning Steve to the Ringmaster. And then
but the point is, even, I mean, is that it used to happen regularly. And, and it happened the other way, too.
It did. It did go, it goes both ways.
So that's why Orlando Jordan, another guy who would have benefited
from both companies. He would be a star.
Yeah, but
you're right.
No, I mean, there was guys that WWE didn't push and they went over there and became bigger stars too. But the point is that, I mean, is that Wade Barrett is, so he's a guy who's just screwed by the current system, because he's a guy who, if there was a true second company that would take a guy like that and make him a star.
Yeah.
Like, he's the exact guy that would have benefited.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Then they had the Dusty Rhodes tribute video.
Which I can watch a billion times.
Yeah, Yeah.
And it's great.
I mean, really sad. I mean, they throw to Renee Young, who just...
You couldn't understand her. She was crying so hard.
Couldn't get it out. No.
And they wouldn't show her on camera.
No, they wouldn't.
For quite a while, actually. Yeah, they were just cutting to shots of the crowd, probably because she was crying so much that... And I also am not sure quite what she was wearing. But, it was a little different. Weird, kind of, actually.
Yeah.
But I mean, they just... You know, and she admitted she was crying later.
Well, and it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, she showed her face and she said something like about the event. And then she goes, and we're all here for the Money in the Bank. Oh, and for Dusty, because I've been... bawling my eyes out or whatever.
But,
and then they cut to Byron Saxton.
Yeah.
And?
Who just kept going, because Byron Saxton is a robot.
Absolutely. No emotion.
No.
But I'm not sure Byron Saxton knew who Dusty Rhodes was.
Well,
the way he was looking. Yeah, the way he had just the, you know, he was just, back to business. Let's keep talking. Let's hype the show.
Yeah, now it is time.
Everything's fine. I'm happy, happy, happy.
The Money in the Bank match is next.
Yeah.
But I think really what happened was they didn't show for a while. Then they went to the Ask KO segment backstage with that Tom Phillips fuck and Kevin Owens. And then they went back, still showing the crowd. I'm not sure the reason that they showed the crowd right after is, and this, you know, can happen, is that Renee started bawling. I think that started to get the other guys, like the Corey Graves and Booker, getting emotional. It's
very
too.
Possible.
And I think,
except for Byron Saxton, I think he was
well.
Fine.
Not Byron Saxton. I think they should have just zoomed right in on Byron Saxton, and he could have just done the rest.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that it was contagious, and I think you had. I think the reason they didn't show it was because you had more than one, and I think they would have been fine. We'll call it exploiting Renee because she's a woman, but I don't think that they wanted Booker T, for instance.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think there's something to that. It's very possible.
But
anyway, so then
Byron Saxton's white brother, they did the 10 bell salute, and John Cena was, scanning the crowd.
Yeah, that's how they opened the show, is the 10 bell salute, and I hope they'll do one on Raw as well.
The crowd
certainly chanting for Dusty, and most people look just devastated. Vince looked devastated.
Yeah.
Hunter
Hunter
looked really, really sad. Summer Rae looked like she was barely holding it together.
Yeah.
A lot of these people who had worked with them in NXT, and then just guys like Kane, who had been around forever and respected him. They all looked really, really big show. These guys looked really, really upset. And John Cena was just kind of scanning the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, he just didn't look
that upset. Also because John Cena is a robot.
It's kind of weird. And then they started Dusty's music, and then Vince perked right up and started dancing basically on the stage to the beat. You just see Vince go, "I love this song.
Yeah. That's a great song.
I still hope we have an excuse to keep playing this."
That's right. Vince and Titus O'Neil was the other guy. Having a great time.
Yeah, they're both dancing to the music.
And Titus, you could tell, was just doing it, and you know, just smiling from ear to ear. You know, "I love this," and just memories is really what it was.
Yeah. And sure probably the same for Vince.
I'm sure for Vince, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
But
strange.
Yeah.
Strange little bits there. Yeah. So then we opened up with the Money in the Bank match.
Yes.
Which is where you looked at me and go, "Oh yeah, so Reigns is winning and cashing in tonight because of opening with this opening, and then close with it."
So we figured there'd be a cash in, right?
But they just hadn't built anybody up to be a legitimate contender where you thought that other person could win. You know, and I said to you, but the problem is if Reigns wins, the crowd is going to immediately shit on him like they did at the Royal Rumble, because it's going to be, "Oh, fuck, here we go again. He's still your guy. You're still shoving him down our throats."
Yeah.
Which is why anytime it looked like he was getting any real offense, the crowd started booing him.
Yeah.
Because they gave him a pretty good reaction coming out, babyface reaction. But yes, as the match was on, it was like, "Okay, we like you. We just don't want you to be pushed down our throats. Yeah. Just let it happen naturally." And everybody seemed afraid again. That they were going to do this again, because, well, that's what they did before.
That's what they do.
And that's not what happened,
though. That isn't what happened. Sheamus comes out as your Mummy is a Skank victor here. And it kind of out of left field. I mean, the last few years, as we hear, Vince decides who's winning the Money in the Bank the day of the show.
But generally, yeah.
And this reeks of that.
And sometimes regrets it almost immediately.
Well, Damien Sandow did win a that's back when they had two, at least, so you could fuck one up.
That's true.
But
he's still, you know. Very much an odd choice, because last time we saw him, he's basically losing Kiss My Ass matches to Ziggler.
Yes.
Like, that doesn't feel like a world champion.
No, but
you... Or a guy who's about to get it. Though we had heard, though, that they like his new heel character, and they know they need heels.
Yeah.
So the plan was to push him.
And you got a year of rehab, and, I mean, you look at a Brock Lesnar versus Sheamus match is you know, somewhat fresh.
It's fresh, but the problem is, again, if he had come back from it and he took out Ziggler and he killed him, and he took out... killed... fucking Ryback and stuff. Sure. Like, if he had been a killer since he come back, and then he's a killer heel, and now he's got the Money in the Bank, so you're like, okay, now at least book him like a killer.
Nope.
But instead, you're going to book him probably like they have been, which is just above Wade Barrett. And you pointed out a really interesting stat to me when I look at this guy, who I see as like a career kind of mid-carder.
Yeah.
And you pointed out something very interesting.
Yes, he's a former World Wrestling Federation champion. He's a former World Heavyweight Champion. He's a former United States Champion. He's a former Intercontinental Champion. He's a former King of the Ring winner. He's a former Royal Rumble winner. And now he's a Money in the Bank winner. It's like the tag, slap a tag title on him, and that's everything.
So this is a guy who's essentially a mid-carder, and viewed as a mid-carder, not as an all-time great, and you just listed off...
A Hall of Fame career,
which is why the titles don't mean anything, and why when we sit here calling it Money in the Who Gives a Fuck, it's easy to not give a fuck about anything, because Sheamus has won everything, and Sheamus isn't a megastar.
No. But, I mean, again, who knows what they're going to do? I mean, again, maybe they're going to start pushing him now. We'll see. I mean, I'm not convinced. I'm not... I can't say I care either way.
No.
You know? Sheamus is it, and he'll cash in. And as I said, whether it's Sheamus and Reigns or Sheamus and Lesnar, it's a fresh match.
It's a fresh match.
So I'll give it that.
What about the idea of Wyatt and Reigns, which is a fresh match, and I had mentioned to you before, I'm like, so Wyatt isn't on this show either, and he wasn't at Elimination Chambers, and just Creative Has Nothing for Him, as he hurt.
Yeah.
And you said, well, I think Creative Has Nothing for Him.
Yeah.
But he's done this before, where he's kind of gone, and then he comes back and attacks the guy. We've seen him against Ambrose, and we saw him like we saw Shield and Wyatt family pretty extensively.
Yeah.
But there's always been something with Reigns and Wyatt one-on-one we haven't really seen.
Right.
And there was always the, you know, back when they start set up the Shield versus the Wyatts in the first place, it was, you know, Reigns being the one to get in his face and him just looking at him going, you're a very interesting character, aren't you?
Yes.
You know, and so there is this kind of, so, like, it's not completely fresh, but it's not so bad. I don't mind it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think that was the one that I'd said. I think I'd said it at one point. I thought I wanted Bray Wyatt to win the Intercontinental title and feud with, you know, with Roman Reigns, Randy Orton. Or no, it was Randy Orton to feud with Rollins and Rusev. And then I thought Wyatt and Orton and Wyatt and Reigns were the fresh matches for Wyatt. So you might as well. I mean, you build it up until, and it gives, it's a summer feud for Roman Reigns, who they're still trying to navigate and find their way through.
They obviously don't want to turn him heel. Everything, his personality was seeming like he was in a position, and the way he was, just the facial expressions, the body language to me was saying perhaps he, they wanted to turn him. Against Ambrose. But really, I mean, I don't think it makes sense. I don't think now is that, I don't think he's as hated now. So that means that the crowd is just anxious to boo him. I don't get that feeling. I think they like him. They just don't want him pushed down their throats. So this is a good thing because this keeps him from being pushed down their throats.
Yeah, that's right.
It makes his chase longer and everything. I'm not sure that he'll be cheered versus Wyatt. I do think that it's the problem is it's Wyatt, another good spot for Wyatt, high up feud, but that he's going to lose.
Yeah, the new Taker, except for, I mean, he probably will lose, but I mean...
That's the difference between him and Taker.
But I mean, he's still, he doesn't seem to, I mean, I guess he did for a little bit with the Cena thing, and I think he's since kind of got it back, probably thanks to the feud with Taker. But
I don't think so. I think the fact that he beat Ryback is good.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was his first good win in forever.
I don't think though. I thought he lost steam with the Cena thing.
Well, he lost the Cena, and then that went to Jericho, which should have worked and didn't. That was where he
You're right. The Jericho thing was the and then. But I think I consider it rehabbed against Ambrose and Undertaker, and then the Ryback thing he won, so that was a good thing.
Well, the Ambrose, there was some stupidity, but it, the matches were generally good.
But for him to lose to Reigns, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, and it's a good spot for Bray that, you know, he can come off, he can lose this, and he can go on.
Well, I didn't like the whole thing with Undertaker, because I didn't like him losing, and then them completely ignoring the loss. Like, so that didn't do anything for his character. It didn't do anything bad or good. It didn't get him over in any more way. It didn't develop his character. It didn't do anything. So I don't like the Undertaker thing. I didn't like that. But the Ambrose feud wasn't so bad. And I don't think this is a bad spot.
The Taker feud wasn't bad because it was one match. The Cena thing...
Because he lost.
Yeah, but who gives a fuck? Wins and losses don't matter.
No, but that's the thing. Loss doesn't matter. Like you can lose,
right?
But you got to have a purpose for the loss. Well, you can't just lose, take him off TV for 3 weeks, and when he returns, have him never reference the loss. Well, that's the problem.
You can lose, or you can win, and it doesn't fucking matter.
No,
titles come and titles go, sir.
There should have been a point to it. So it's just something that happened. That had no purpose. I'm the new face of fear. Oh, I lost. I'm still the new face of fear.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. So that's the prize. So I don't think that did him any favors.
That fact will not be settled until Ming and the Barbarian come down and try to straighten this Wyatt feller out.
Yeah. Well, now you have all three Wyatt fellas again as heels.
Yes.
I think it is just a matter of time for them to reform.
I would like
that will, I think, help him.
And that could help against...
I think that'll help everybody.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, you could
turn all three of them babyface then and have them take on New Day for the tag titles, but there is a little hitch in that we'll get to.
But in terms of the who gives a fuck rating, I think...
How many fucks do you not give here? I give it three.
I just won because, you know what, there's two things coming out of it that are talking points and things about, you know, okay, what's going to happen.
I give it 3 also because I don't really think it was that good a match. Though there was a few, like, I mean, there was one kind of sick move that put on Neville, but he was back flipping around a few minutes later.
Yes.
Kofi had a few really big moves put on him.
Yes.
But that kind of plays into New Day coming out, though not successfully helping him.
Yes.
Again, it was too much of spots and, like, okay, the two of us will be in the ring, and then a big move will happen to us, and then you guys will be out of the ring for a while, and then the next guy will
come in.
Yeah,
I know.
So it's all just like...
That's your formulaic...
That's why I'm like, the match itself didn't do much for me in that way.
Yeah.
So like I say, I give it 3 who gives a fuck because the build for how important the Money in Bank is, and the Money in Bank with a guy like Sheamus, who's just kind of been there forever, having it means little to me, so... I give it 3. I have 3 fucks that I do not give for this match. 3 out of 5.
I only have 1 because I, as I said, it's all roads lead for Sheamus would be a
fuck. Can I give it a half a fuck? Maybe a fuck?
Yeah, a
fuck. Would it be a fuck or would it be a k?
It'd be a fuck. Okay. Because you'd be giving the half.
Okay, so I give it 3.5 fuck.
So 3 fucks and a fuck.
Yeah, 3 fucks and a fuck.
3 fucks and a fuck. See, and I think coming out, Sheamus has 2 fresh matches no matter who's the champion. Or a fresh match, no matter who's the champion, with Rollins, you throw Rollins in that mix.
Well, that's the thing is, a few of these guys who, like Rollins, Ambrose, Reigns, Lesnar, at least Sheamus hasn't worked with them.
Yeah.
But you gotta make him a killer now. Make him a fucking killer.
And just one of those things. Who knows, right? But it's there. And then you have the Roman and Bray thing to feud, which I like. So yeah, that one's good. So
looking at that picture there you have of from us at the Sci-Fi, you know, partners.
Yes. Yeah. Still huge supporter of the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, yeah. So the Sharknado 3, and it's us being eaten by a shark. It's you, me, and the producer.
Yes.
How many chins do I have there?
Wow. Yeah, you got a Chinese phone book there.
Holy crap. That's not a good picture.
Huh. Wow.
I mean, I still look better than you, but still.
I thought you were smiling, but no. Those are chins.
Alright, so anyway, so let's move on to the next bit.
Oh, God.
Paige then cut... is Paige the best promo? Like, remember when Paige came up and she said, I'm not much for talking?
Yes.
And she was no good at promo. And Paige cut this really good promo.
Yes.
She had a nice little reaction, then she cut a really good promo.
Yes.
Talking about, basically, she was the common girl.
Yeah, she's the common bitch.
She's the common girl. She's the common girl, and the Bellas are Ric Flair.
Yes.
Like she's the one, you know, like you, and she's going to get rid of them. And she's, you know, you want her to cheer for her. And the crowd actually gave a really nice reception after the promo.
Yeah.
A cheering. More so than they normally would.
Yeah.
I thought they worked pretty hard. There's a couple sloppy spots, as there generally is. I think the ending was a little clumsy. What? But I generally didn't think it was that bad a match.
Well, she was dedicated.
It went on quite a while. It was a long match. Probably 15 minutes on close.
Yeah. She dedicated the match to Dusty, and then, ironically, there was a Dusty finish, where she won the match after a twin magic, and then Nikki came out from underneath, hanging out with Hornswoggle, and said, no, I'm over here!
What happened was, you had actually gone to get the chicken wings that had shown up here. Like you said, they did the twin magic, like they did on Raw, and on Raw, they did the twin magic, and then... A small package from Brie, and she pinned Paige.
Oh, you were there?
The rematch. Yeah. So we got the rematch here, and small package. I got what you did.
Can you get that? You get that now?
I got that.
Yeah.
That's good. Fuck you. So you had it again, this time twin magic, and Brie comes out, does the small package, but this time it gets reversed, and she ends up, and Paige gets the pin. And it's immediately Brie, and Nikki's like, Brie's like, no, it's not me, I'm the wrong one. And she starts reaching into her top and pulling out all the padding, all these tissues that she had used to pad it to look like her sister, which I think must have been Vince giving a rib going, she needs bigger tits, pal.
Yeah.
So go get some bigger tits. Otherwise, we're going to have to do this. It's going to highlight you have small tits. And anyway, she's throwing all these, and it's pretty funny, especially since she has blacker hair, and it was in a ponytail.
Yes.
And Nikki has blonder hair that was all down.
Yes.
So even if you patted them,
no,
actually didn't look alike unless she put on a ponytail in a half second outside the ring.
No. It's their tits. That's how you tell them apart. That's what this taught us. Which bell is that? Oh, just look at her chest. Oh, okay.
Wait, so you're saying one having a ponytail.
No. What are their tits doing? That's what you need to be checking out, pal.
Fucking stupid. Like, they don't look anything alike because one had their hair down and another one had it in a ponytail.
No.
The tits thing.
The tits. It's all about the tits and how big they are. Yeah.
No silicone.
It's all about the tits.
Fuck. All right. Let's move on.
Time to see the tits. Time to see the tits.
Let's move on. Can we move on?
It's all about the tits and how you feel them. All about the tits, and if you can squeal them.
Squeal them? What do you do with tits?
What? I don't know. I assume if they're made of silicone, they make kind of a rubbery noise.
Rubber motorboat, maybe.
Ryback
and the Big Show.
Ryback and the Big Show with the cock-sucking motherfucker, the Miz in commentary.
Miz came out, cut out a nice little promo, but he's still the Miz.
And it was stupid, and they had a match, and
how many fucks do you not give this, basically?
Oh, 9.
I give this a 4. 4 out of 5. Just, fucks that I do not give this. Maybe 4.5. 4 fucks and a 5. Like, because, yeah, I mean, basically, you had this match. This is a match, like, one thing I have to say, okay, so they worked pretty hard, the girls did.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
You had, I think 2 finishers applied that were kicked out of during the match? At least yes. 1. Maybe least, 2.
I think 2. Well, no, I think there was a submission-y deal.
Submission-y deal, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing.
To the ropes.
So you had 2 finishers that weren't finishers.
Right.
And then in this, you had the chokeslam, though I know that he still has the knockout punch now. But still, you had the chokeslam.
Yes.
In this match that wasn't the finish.
Heard around the world.
Yes. Yes. So you had another finisher that's not a finish here.
Yes.
So that's...
Yeah.
Okay. No. That's just... Now we're at 3.
3.
Okay. And other than that, like you say, kind of a sloppy match as to be expected. And just when it looked like Show might win, Miz jumped... Because both of them just kept on picking on the Miz, pretty much. Miz just jumped Show and then left the ring with both of them beat down.
Yeah.
Because he used the mic or something. And this is apparently setting up a 3-way. And how many fucks will you not give for a 3-way between these guys?
It was 9 for this match. And you throw
9,000?
You throw in the Miz, which then what you do there, see, is you take a multiple. See, what you do with the multiples is you take a multiple of 6 million. So it's 9 to the 6 millionth power fucks I don't give about this 3-way.
Mm. Isn't that 5.4 billion? Or
It's about...
54
it's,
billion?
It's one,
54 million.
It's one fuck for every year the WWE will be in business.
That you do not give.
That I do not give.
Well, they're down to 5.5 billion now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. No, I just... Like, on paper, Ryback fighting the Big Show for the Intercontinental title. On paper, the Big Show...
Well, if they built it up crowd, to, can he hit that shell shock? Built it up for a long time to the point where he finally gets it. And it's huge.
Yes.
Instead, you already did it on Raw.
You just did it on Raw, and then you've added The Miz into this mix, who just, like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
You're not going to get a belt over that way. And it's just stupid. And
It's just it feels like filler.
It really does.
Yeah.
And I of all the people I kind of feel for in this is a little bit of Ryback, because I thought, okay, well, he's not the greatest, but give him a belt and a one-on-one thing with the Big Show built up and a feud. Okay, the matches are going to suck, but you get a thing with the Big Show, and like you said, but then just throw
at least Big Show's a protected guy that he would be going against. But now you're against a protected guy that you're going against Ed, who's also Big Show's, whatever the win is over Big Show, or whatever momentum a Ryback has, is brought down by the anchor that is The Miz.
Yes.
A guy nobody believes is any good.
No.
Because he's being pushed like he's a joke for last three
Well, and years. Even on commentary, they made him seem like a retard. Mm-hmm. It was just, yeah, just stupid. Yeah. But it was like, let's get our, Michael Cole's in, let's get myself over mode by making fun of The Miz.
Yeah.
And just dumb.
Well, that is understandable, though.
Well, it is, but dumb.
Yeah.
So then it's Cena and Owens, the main event of the show.
Well, it really is.
You know, the...
As far as crowd reaction and quality of the match and everything, it was good.
Yeah.
People are raving about it. I don't think it was great.
No. But it, what it did is Owens gets pinned. Cena gets the win.
Yeah.
But then Owens beats the fuck out of Cena and gives him the
power. Well, yeah, Cena then afterwards says, now these people respect you. You're a champion. And so, you know, shakes his hand. And Owens shakes his hand and then kicks him in the stomach, kicks him out of the ring, gives him the power bomb onto the edge of the ring that basically he gave to Sami Zayn.
Exactly.
And also to, I believe, well, who else is he giving it to? He's giving
Neville.
It to...
Neville.
Yeah, and I think also Alex Riley.
Yes, that was right. Yeah. That was right. So that's a move that's supposed to take people out. And so Cena's limping because he's better than everyone else.
Yeah, well, he'll be fine tomorrow. Yeah. He'll be joking. He's John Cena.
He's going to joke about it, yeah, for sure. I can't wait to hear the poopy comedy that he's got tomorrow on Raw.
He has been a little better with that stuff lately, but still. They said before the match, John Cena's going to do stuff in this match. He said that you never seen before, and he did, and he shouldn't. Because those were the points that were a little sloppy.
Yes.
As far as
were that fucking rollover, what do they call that? The sunset like powerbomb?
Yeah. Holy I remember the very first shit. Time I ever saw that was
And Dean.
Pardon me?
I saw Ray and Dean do that.
First time I can recall seeing it was Ray and Jamie Noble.
Okay.
That I can remember. I'm sure Ray and Dean probably would have seen it. And it was so smooth and it was awesome.
Yes.
And then this was not.
Not. Oh, fuck. You tried it like six times and had to push up. And oh, fuck. It was funny.
Yeah.
It was just.
Yeah. Well, it's just not the type of thing that John Cena needs to do. I'll give John Cena this, though. I respect that this guy's been wrestling for this long and is at this position and still trying to add new moves to his arsenal. To new moves. Because when's the last time that fucking Randy Orton added a new move?
You know,
or that...
You know, they have these fucking things called house shows. So you do a fucking new move, you do it in front of 3,000 people
maybe
in buttfuck Idaho.
Maybe he has.
No,
we don't know.
Well, we know.
No, you don't.
We know.
No,
we don't actually, because no one goes to those fucking shows, so we didn't get any reports for it. But yeah,
you know. But I mean, when was the last time Kane added something new to his arsenal, or you know, like...
Pants.
Like, even a Chris Jericho, you know, I mean, like you just...
Well, but the problem with Chris Jericho...
He knows more moves to start with.
Chris Jericho knew 1,004 moves to start with, yes. So it's very hard. I mean, he already knows the arm bar.
Yeah.
And the moss-covered three-handled family credenza. So you can't really, you know, also he knows the arm bar.
Yes.
So it's difficult.
Yes, yes.
It's difficult for him.
But you don't see a lot of new moves from guys, right? I mean, you know, R-Truth never adds a new move into his arsenal, you know?
No, that's
something
true.
Like that, right?
And R-Truth has seen all of the moves.
Yeah.
He's so old. Look at him.
Sold.
So old.
Sold. And John Cena, so I mean, I'll give him that. Like, he does try that. And maybe he doesn't need to all the time. The stunner, you know, Springboy stunner, looks stupid again. And they even said,
they said
it led to the finish, and they even said he didn't catch him clean. So apparently he wasn't listening to Steve Austin.
Yes.
Though at least this time it did lead to the pin, so that's a little more.
Yeah.
My problem with this match is it was so similar to the last match. Whereas I remember like a great match, like I remember Christian versus Orton.
Yes.
When Christian won the title, series of matches. And the very first match, they had a great match. They countered a few moves. Orton won.
Yes.
So, you know, right after Christian won the belt. And then Christian wanted another match.
One more match.
And he comes out. And the moves that Orton hit him with he countered this time. Orton countered his moves because now they knew each other better. And then it had to be that both guys had to come up with new moves or new ways to put them on because they had already seen and hit the moves. And then the next match, they built upon that again.
Yeah.
And were countering and having to do new stuff. And they knew each other even better. And the matches were getting better. And it was like a long continuing story that way.
Yeah.
And whereas this was last time was, you know, moves like them going up to the top rope and being like that move where Owens flips him and gives him that kind of superplex almost from the top rope. Hit that the exact same way. The pop-up power bombs hit the exact same way. The moonsault. Though I think this time Cena moved, but... But, yeah, I mean, the attitude adjustment, like, the amount of finishers hit that guys kicked out of, it was too many last time. So the fact they did it again was even more too many this time.
Yes.
Because at least it was new last time. Now you've done that twice where you just keep hitting and they keep on kicking out of each other's finisher time after time after time. I think there was 3 attitude adjustments and, like, two STFs here, and there was like 4 pop-up power bombs,
and that was it.
And all these stuff. And so now I'm no longer buying them as finishes when I'm supposed to until I'm going, I won't even count these until you've hit the 3rd or 4th one as being a possible finish.
Yeah.
So for me, that's why I don't think it was as strong. And again, think back to Randy Savage in Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 7.
Yes.
He hits 3 elbows.
Yes.
He kicks out once.
Mm-hmm.
When nobody had kicked out of Hogan's leg drop.
Yes.
In years. Warrior kicked out of it once. And you remembered it. Even SummerSlam, Bret Hart hit the sharpshooter. Nobody got out of it. When Bulldog got out of it and he hit the power slam and Bret Hart got out of that. They both hit it once. They had to use a different move. They didn't keep going back to it.
Yes.
And it meant something. And you remembered it. Because these moves always won the matches for them.
Yes.
So the rare occasion when that didn't, it meant something to you.
Yes.
This started with with Rock versus Austin hitting multiple finishers in the main event.
Yes.
And them kicking out of it and needing 2 or 3 or 4. And now it's become the pattern.
Yes.
And it hides the great match in the psychology.
Well, now the pattern's gone from you have to hit 3 or 4, or let's say even Taker and Lesnar, where it took 3 F5s.
But nobody
bought
that 3rd one. You know why? Because you'd already kicked out of 2.
And that's why. Yeah.
It used to be you tease it and he doesn't quite get it and you get out of it.
Yes.
There was a ton, the Savage versus Steamboat, there was like 19 2 counts, but there was like 1 elbow hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Savage or Steamboat ever hit his finisher.
No.
And so that's it. It hides the psychology. If the psychology should be you're trying to get it and the other guy's getting away from it.
Yes, but I think it started with the whole Rock and Austin in terms of...
That was where it started.
3 to do it. But then they got away from the pattern by saying, no, it's just now we can kick out of 3 of them and we'll use a different thing. And it's like, well, no, this just that kills your finish. And it doesn't... And I don't... And the people say, oh, it kills your finish, you're taking it too seriously. Well, no, it's about the psychology and the crowd reaction.
It's about the psychology and the storytelling.
And you wonder why, like, again, it's part of the reason... It's part of the reason you talk about money and who gives a fuck is because, again, when the finishes are so trite and contrived and just... You know, there's no bringing you on that emotional roller coaster.
Let's put it this way.
It doesn't happen, right?
1 year from now... I challenge you to remember spot after spot after spot what happened that made this match special for you. If you loved this match, I dare you to not watch it again within a year. And then in a year, tell me what it was that you saw that made this match special and different from that other match.
Yeah.
Whereas what we're talking about is matches that you're like, yeah, I could watch it once and I remember this because this was special and different. You did not see this. Often, these moves are more memorable. The escapes and the near falls are more memorable and more emotional long term.
Yeah,
because of that, and that's what's missing here. And that's why I'm like, good match.
Yeah,
good match.
Good match.
Great match. I'm sure live.
good match.
But to me, not what it should be. Now, what about Cena winning?
Well, it was Cena winning, but the post-match, I think...
I have no problem
with that. The post-match took care of Cena winning.
I think you need to do something like an Iron Man match next time, though.
Yeah, but I do think that the post-match... took care of the fact that Cena won. When Cena won, I went, fuck.
And if Owens wins the third match, if he does, which is possible, which should be not Battleground. It should be Battleground. Should be a contract signing for SummerSlam.
Butthole Ground?
Yeah, because it should be a SummerSlam. If Owens wins that, then everything's fine. Cena wins it, Owens is good enough and he's over enough that I don't think it won't kill him, but it's time.
It doesn't make him stronger, though.
No, it doesn't, yeah.
It doesn't kill him, but it doesn't make him stronger.
Yeah.
Then we had the fucking tag title match where the primetime players won the tag titles.
And the funny thing is, New Day came out as the two of them. It was Woods and Big E because they were selling the injuries from the ladder match to Kingston.
Oh, angst.
And, no, just Big E.
Langston.
Oh, just Xavier.
Woods.
But they cut a great little promo talking about how don't sign, basically. And Woods is getting frustrated at the crowd. And he's Big E awesome. Big E's staying positive. And it's just hilarious. And it was good. And it was charismatic. And I'm like, this is awesome. This act is great. This act is getting to already be an act where people love chanting New Day sucks and love getting on these guys and booing them. And it's over and it's working and it's a tag team that's getting a reaction much more than any tag team I can remember in a long time for getting an entire crowd booing them or moving. Yeah. But they don't really hate them anymore because they're entertaining. Now you like to boo against them. Anymore. Yeah. So,
but they're over.
They're over. And they're
prime
over.
Primetime players are not.
No, primetime players definitely are not. And the primetime players won.
Yeah.
And I do not understand this. Like, and we were trying to figure it out. The only reason I could think that they did this was to make a babyface go over. So when a heel goes over in the main event and in some of these other matches, that it kind of balances the show out.
Well, you had one. The Intercontinental was a throwaway. Like a fuck finish thing, yeah. Right? Whatever.
You had a heel win the Money in the Bank.
But you had a heel win the Money in the Bank. You had a heel win the chick match. Title.
Yeah.
And then you had a baby face in Cena winning. And you had a baby face in...
Well, sort of baby face. But more of the crowd was for Owens than Cena.
Well, but it is a baby face. Never mind, it's baby face, and then baby face, and the primetime players, and then the heel wins. So it was 2-2 going into 2-2 and a fuck going into.
Well, and maybe that's why Ryback or why Truth won too. Maybe I don't know. I can't think of any other reason.
Yeah, that's true. That would be 3-3 if you counted that in terms of finishes. Yeah.
And that's the only reason
that's what they're looking for. Right?
Maybe that's the only reason. But I'm like, why would you take? You have a team who's, and it seems like this happens in the tag teams so often.
Yeah.
And the Usos had a good long reign, and it was good for the belts, and it was good for the team.
It was.
But, you know, when we thought they would lose it to people like the Wyatts and shit.
Maybe that's what it is, though. Maybe the prime times are just going to transition it over to the Wyatts.
The Wyatts, they do definitely want to build the Wyatts up, and you have two heel teams.
Yeah.
That could be it. You're right. Actually, that's the only reason. That's the other reason. Yeah. Because...
The Wyatts could then beat them at Butthole Ground and just got a transition deal, and then the Wyatts could hold it for a good long time until the Usos come back. And then
they won the fucking belts, right? And the crowd, instead of popping for the title change, and the crowd usually pops for a win or a match ending anyways, but especially for a title change, the crowd almost booed. Like, oh fuck, we didn't want the New Day to win. We're booing them. But we didn't actually want them to lose.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're liking having them as the champs and what's happening here. And I don't know. I know it's about, maybe it is about Rowan and Harper, but why, you just had somebody with momentum. You don't have to cut their legs off, and that happens so often in the tag team division.
It does.
Which just when somebody's getting the momentum, they get their legs cut off.
Yeah.
And this so it just made no sense to me. It's a poor decision.
I think it's a poor decision myself. Yeah. And yeah.
But
they
searched like crazy to find people doing the millions of dollars dance in the crowd. They could hardly find anybody.
Because everybody was kind of in shock.
Everyone's like, why would you do that? Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, what the hell? Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And now you got to the main event. At this point, it's been a long show.
Yeah.
And this hits the stage about 2 hours and 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
It's been a long show. You've had a title match that nobody cared about, a title change that kind of people actually deflated them.
Yeah.
And nothing could match Owens versus Cena for crowd heat. So, boy, they had a struggle. And they had this last month,
too. And they almost went 40 minutes.
They almost went 40 minutes for Rollins and Ambrose.
And
there was no outside interference.
Great babyface pre-match speech by Hunter.
Yes.
Hyping him up.
Hyping up babyface Seth Rollins, except not really.
Yeah. and then Rollins...
But you don't need anybody. Prove it. Prove why we chose you.
And Rollins retains the title. You know, just
it was a good match, and
super vicious, and you know, and then you sort of said, well, they're really keeping him strong for Lesnar, is what it was.
That's what I was like. We were trying to figure it out because we're going. Is Reigns coming out? Does Lesnar come out even? Because he's supposed to be there tomorrow night and for Battleground. And it's like, no, okay. At the end, he was just killing Ambrose.
Yeah,
just destroying him. And I'm like, oh, I get it. They're having him be vicious and mean and this good.
Mm-hmm.
So that he seems like somebody who is a danger to Lesnar.
Yeah, with no help.
So it doesn't seem like a complete joke.
Exactly.
Because he's been booked like a joke since getting the belt.
Yes. A thing that he took advantage of a situation and then has needed help from everyone.
Yeah, he needed help to get the briefcase, took advantage of a situation, and since then has had the help of Kane and J&J Security and everything to hold on to it. He's not good.
Yeah, exactly.
And now they made him seem like he's vicious.
Yeah,
and he is good, but they didn't bury Ambrose. Ambrose still fought through everything that he was given to him to almost pull out the win.
That's right.
And so by the end, it became a compelling match, and the crowd was pretty much into it, and it was a good match. It took a long time to get going.
But it was really good by the end. But
yeah,
I mean,
and some of those fucking moves at the end that he was doing on Ambrose,
and some of it
really
though,
did look super vicious.
Like Bret Hart would just be cringing and yelling at the TV watching this match of Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, because there were just spots, not a match. There were spots
that looked like practice choreographed spots.
Yeah,
that just looked like you have a ladder breaking that looked like a worked ladder. Where I'm going, you know, the great ladder matches in the past.
Yes.
That I saw didn't need a fake ladder break to make it more real, because instead it looks more phony. Like it to create a spot, like you didn't need that in the past.
No,
you know, and yeah, I mean, there were spots where it was like, okay, and then you get in position here, and then I'll do this, and this is my counter to your counter. There was definitely some of that.
Yeah,
but by the end, it was a good story. And like I say, some of those things at the end, fuck, those were seriously
throwing
heavy.
Yeah, the power bombing him into the guardrail that he kept missing.
Yeah, the barrier. Yeah,
the barrier there.
He kept on hitting it just a little short. Yeah,
yeah.
It just looked brutal.
But and then he cut the Owen Hart promo at the end.
Yes, he did. I'm a winner.
Yeah, basically. Woo! I told you and I did it on the best of all.
I did it all by myself.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, and that's and he cut a great
I did not say so. One I don't give a fuck for the one fuck that I don't give for Owens versus Cena.
Yeah. I would say
four fucks I don't give for Woods versus players.
For the new day
and two fucks I don't give for Rollins versus Ambrose.
I'd go with one again.
Maybe one. Maybe one.
One again.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting.
So, I mean, yeah, it was definitely...
And I don't know where Ambrose goes from here, but he's not out of the picture. You can put him to the side, but you don't have to put him out of the picture.
But you got
to
find something,
In fact, Ambrose versus Sheamus now.
Sheamus, I was going to say, yeah, that would be the...
Makes sense.
That would make sense, yeah. And then, Orton again. I don't know. You know what I would actually do? Is after Cena, you do the match at SummerSlam, and I would do Owens Orton. I would.
That would make sense too.
I would transition out to that because I don't know what you do with Randy Orton.
Yeah,
you know, I don't see anybody that Randy Orton. Like, what's Randy Orton's Summerfest match? You know, like really?
No. I Rusev.
If he's back, nobody.
No,
Rusev
is hurt.
Ziggler,
and that's
Ziggler. You got to do that first. Right?
Yeah.
Orton's
in a weird spot.
Then
there.
You got like again. You got your. You go back to your Canes and your big shows and your. You know, fuck. Who cares? Right?
Yeah.
So it's creative. There's no creative has nothing for him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of if there's any other heels that really he can... I'm sure you can come up with something, but I mean, looking at this show right here, I don't see a single person that's... There's nobody in that... You know, I mean, he's, like, honestly, and I know it's those, the RKO vines were awesome and hilarious, and I watched them a lot.
He was better as a heel.
But he'd have more for him. Like, you would have him versus Neville.
Yeah.
You could easily do if he was a heel.
Yeah.
You can't really do anything here.
No.
I'm going to ask you, do you think when Stardust comes back...
I was just thinking that.
He continues to be a heel?
I don't know. I was just thinking that because they were talking... We said SummerSlam, and I was thinking Stardust and that Green Arrow or whatever they were talking
about.
That'll
be odd now.
Right?
But we'll see what happens.
But
I think it's going to be hard to boo anybody who... You know, in this situation, so.
Well, that is, and it's, I mean, you went from, I'll give you the example that I think of with what, you know, the, if history is any, if they do the same thing as history, I mean, like, the death of Eddie Guerrero spilled the name of Kerwin White, right?
Yeah, Chavo.
You know, and Chavo got a mini push and got to, you know, to be in there for a few years, you know, got his own bodyguard in Bam Neely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and was with Edge and them for a while, and you know, it just, one of those things. So maybe Cody...
Yeah, I'm going to ask you another one. Randy Orton is a solid ring veteran, we'll say, we'll put it that way.
Good hand.
And you have somebody that you say, you need another heel... And you want to push somebody and need somebody new, and he's been in developmental as long as Rusev was now.
Okay.
And you could bring him up to the main roster and make him a monster because he's big, and put him on a feud with Orton that Orton could teach him and help him work on the road and then on pay per views in Baron Corbin.
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Baron Corbin just doesn't get it yet. And
I think he's improved a lot over the last few. People are still pretty hard on him. Working with Rhino has helped him a lot.
Yeah, it has.
And even working with Bull Dempsey helped him a lot.
I just think that, like, Baron Corbin, he's been in the NFL, so I assume he knows how to trash a hotel room. I don't know what he's going to learn from Randy.
How to shit in a cheerleader's bag?
Yeah.
I think he's already knows how to do
this
that?
Is, yeah. So you yeah. get it. Do you like that, Diva? No? Okay, here's what you do. But I think you have to be careful as well with right now, the especially with Kevin Owens, mm-hmm. just the NXT stuff.
Yeah.
Because we were commenting about it during the match, is that, you know, NXT is all over his Titantron. It's all over, like, his name is not WWF Kevin Owens, it's NXT Kevin Owens. Like, I just look at...
Well, again, there's not a lot of heels even down in NXT.
Yeah,
but there's not a lot of heels. I don't see you bringing up Tyler Breeze. I mean, would I actually like to watch Tyler Breeze versus Randy Orton in a feud? Fuck yeah, actually I would.
Is
after that, after he takes the RKO and loses that feud a few times, would he go from there right down to the bottom? Sure, but I think it could be a fun feud. Yeah, and I think Breeze is a good worker. Breeze is the guy that more than anybody else in NXT that I've ever seen that I went, he doesn't have it to the guy that I've turned around and went, I was wrong on him.
You know, the thing with Tyler Breeze, he's got a good act.
He's a good wrestler.
He's a good wrestler.
Good matches.
It's just when you're looking at the WWF...
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I think he ends up eating the RKO and from there gets pushed down to Fandango level. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. I think you could bring him in and have him have that feud for a little while. And I think he'd have good matches. And again, he would actually be a heel. But a mid-card heel for a holdover guy for a guy like Orton.
Well, but you don't bring him in for that, though. That's what I kind of
like.
Well,
I think you do, because his ultimate ceiling isn't that high.
Yeah.
Because of the gimmick.
That's true.
And because of the overall, he's just so small. But
I just think you...
Slight, I think is the best way to put it.
I'm just trying to think. I mean, is there a baby face on
the... You don't do that with Finn Balor, but I think that's fine use of Tyler Breeze.
Is there a baby face on the roster that Orton can team with to be turned on or to turn on?
I think you could do that with Neville. I think you could do that with Cesaro now. You could even do that with the Uso that's not hurt because it's weird that he's off TV just because his brother's hurt.
I like Cesaro, actually. I like that. Team Orton and Cesaro against the...
Because I don't even think Cesaro... I'm not sure how long Kid will be gone or if he's even coming back. It's a bad injury, you know?
Yeah, it
like,
is bad.
And this is another injury he's had now. He's not that old, but he's like 34. But, like, I do not see if it's a long time. He's not coming back to be in that team. I don't know what happens to Kid or what his future is or if it's another team. Or if he goes back to NXT and he just never... This might have been the peak for him because of the injury and the timing.
Yeah.
But so you're not going to wait for a year to put with Cesaro not doing anything.
Well, you wouldn't, and I wouldn't.
So that they can put him back with Kid. Not with Kid.
No, they would just... Vince would just, yeah, put him in purgatory, and he'll be, you know, you're yeah.
I don't think so. I don't see him,
you know.
I love the idea of...
But yeah,
again,
Cesaro
this
and
is this
go.
Is where if New Day is going to lose it, if New Day lost it to Cesaro and Orton,
yeah,
who eventually lost it to the Wyatts, so the Wyatts and then Orton turned on Cesaro, that I think people would have been a lot more into than fucking primetime players.
I just think
fucking
right,
everything up.
I just think right now you could do Cesaro. I mean, he's barely a babyface. Cesaro and Kid were barely babyfaces.
Okay, Cesaro may be barely a babyface, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't be a babyface.
I just think you could do him against Orton, and
maybe.
And there's a decent match, and one that you know I'd be interested in. So you know that's the only guy I can think of for Randy Orton right
yeah.
now. You know,
because the other thing would be that he ends up in a goddamn. You know, turning Sheamus and him into a three-way. Like, Sheamus and Wyatt into a three-way with Orton. That's my fear. That's the last thing I want to see.
Wyatt?
Yeah. Or not Sheamus and Wyatt.
Roman.
Reigns and Wyatt.
Oh, yeah. Into a well, they've already announced like it for Butthole Ground one-on-one.
Yeah, but I'm talking for SummerSlam.
I know. But, yeah, no, I know what you mean. But,
yeah. There's very little.
It is. It's very little.
There's very little out there for him. So. Yeah. All right.
Well, Raw tomorrow, and...
You have to create something. You have to create somebody new for him.
Yes, that's exactly. That is the thing. And Raw tomorrow, and the Dusty Rhodes Remembering the Dream will be immediately, for 1 hour, immediately after Raw.
Yeah.
So that'll be a great show, I'm sure. So, overall show, what do you think?
I'll just rate this out of 10, because it's easier. I'll give it a 6.5. 6.5, 7.
Yeah, I'd say 7 out of 10. I think. 6.5, 7. That's pretty good. And there's some places they can go, and it's
just quickly. I want to just talk about something because this was the main topic of conversation. Our previous show that we did, which was just a little over a week ago.
And you, I mean, we sort of saw it there. We got excited about it. You probably more than I did. But confirmed from right from the horse's mouth. Steve Austin, that there'll be no match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, just like
Steve
like,
Austin and
like,
Brock Lesnar. So,
which I mean, of course, on
you,
the show,
you were wrong. Let's just say it. You were wrong.
Fuck off, will you? I said we'll never see the match. You said the match is happening. You said WrestleMania will suck otherwise.
Yeah.
I said it's been 13 years. He hasn't had a match. Fucking move on already.
Nope.
If it's been 3 years and guy hasn't had a match, he should move on. 13. What's wrong with you that you can't let it go?
No.
That's what happened. So now can you just say, fucking, that's it. Let's move on.
Yes, you were wrong. Let's move on. So
listen to the show. Go back and listen to the show with archives, yeah. Folks. That's not what happened.
Mo_WeTalk on Twitter. Wrong.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, so we're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter, facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. Follow us there. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website where you can subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on the TuneIn radio app. So that's going to do it for another Your Mummy is a Skank pay-per-view, and we'll
Money
see what,
who gives a fuck.
We'll see what Butthole Ground brings. So we do have July 4th that we can look forward
that
to.
That will be great.
out of Tokyo. So
Neville and Jericho.
Neville and Jericho, oh. Balor and Owens, you know, Kofi and Brock.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Main event anywhere in the country. Or the country.
Brock doing anything is a main event anywhere in the country.
In any country, apparently.
Apparently. But him and Kofi will be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
because, yeah, be you awesome. Know, they respect
Cena,
each other.
Cena is also going to have a match. Okay. I think it's against Kane.
No, it's a tag match.
Oh.
It's like Cena and Ziggler against Barrett and Kane or something.
Yeah.
It's who gives a so, fuck.
What?
Basically, who gives a fuck. No. I hope that's on early because the show's at like
And then you'll probably have a chick match.
Yeah, probably.
Probably something. They probably have both the Bellas out there, and I'll tell them apart by the ponytail.
Yeah, no, they're tits. But I hope the Cena match, like they do a Saturday Night's Main Event type thing, where a Cena match opens a show, because it's not like 5 a.m. our time. So then I can just like wake up late and I've already missed it.
Exactly.
So, all
right.
But all right, that's going to do it for...
So that's July 4th, which as everybody knows, by the way, that's an interesting day they're holding on July 4th.
Yeah.
As is well known that that's Canada Day.
That is 3 days after Canada Day, yes.
No, that's... What?
Yeah, Canada Day, July 1st.
July 4th.
1st.
4th is first, Canada Day.
They would not do a pay-per-view on July 1st because that's the first day of NHL free agency.
I thought Independence Day was for Canada, that...
No, Independence Day is for Will Smith. When Will Smith beats the aliens.
Aliens. Keeps them from crossing the border?
Exactly.
For America.
He won't put them over.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, so in the meantime, in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, we off the air?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I just want to thank you for last show. Oh, what did we off the air? For taking care of my itchy asshole.
Yeah. Why does Will Smith hate Mexicans?